I am unashamed. What about you?
All right, welcome back to Unashamed. We got Jace back in the house.
I'm back.
What does your shirt say, Jace? Dig it? Can you dig it?
Dig it. Now, this phrase, although it seems simple.
It's an old 70s phrase, Jace. Dad, you remember when they used to say, can you dig it?
I do.
Yep. So
you brought it back.
So my lovely wife and my brother and his lovely wife, Jep, I guess he's the younger brother.
The younger. Jep the younger, we call him.
We have an upcoming show coming out. So there's a lot of things that are coming out to promote the show. And they were like, we need like a tagline. So I said that. I said, I got one. And they're like, what? I said, dig it.
Dig it.
And it was just crickets. I said, dig it. Get it? They're like, no. So after a few months of me, one, I brought that up. I said, you don't remember in the 60s and the 70s? It was, so you have that meaning.
Right.
We're bringing it back in a spiritual way. Yeah. We're digging up.
Can you dig it?
Lost treasure. And in the spirit that we just celebrated the resurrection.
Yep.
Amen.
Dig it.
Can you dig it?
Dig it. See?
I like you that. See the I hadn't parallel? Thought about that. That's pretty good. So yesterday was Easter Sunday, which that was perfect for that we celebrated. Zach, did you preach on Easter Sunday?
I did.
Did you? What did you preach on? Did you preach on the resurrection?
I did. I kept it.
It's pretty much a simple sermon prep, right? If you do very something simple. Other than the resurrection, well, something's wrong with you.
I went back to the book. I'm glad we did the book of Mark because that's where I got into it. I started in John 2 when Jesus told, when he turned over the temples the first time, and he said, you know, if you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And he was talking about his body.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Mark from pretty much the last 8 days of Jesus's life. And I mean, when you talk about hammering down on the temple, that's where he was at the last 8 days. And so we went through this whole thing of connecting the resurrection of the temple, the resurrection of his body, and then him becoming the cornerstone. And then now we are living stones built upon that temple. So that was my message in a nutshell. No, if you want to go check it out, you go to the website and listen to it.
Did you ever raise your voice at any time?
No, I'm not that kind of preacher. I hardly ever do that.
I was just curious.
So we did, Mike and I did at our church at WFR, we did a kind of a 50-50, is what I call it, a sermon. So we did the first half. We kind of looked at the life of Peter because ours was called Witnessing the Resurrection. We've been teaching through the book of 1 Peter, kind of mirroring what we did on the podcast.
It sounds like to me you and Zach are getting all your material from the podcast.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
There's no question about it.
At this stage, it's
efficiency.
Exactly. You know? At this stage of my life, especially since I'm not being paid anymore, I'm like trying to
and all this
multiply
time,
all my studies.
Now the secret is revealed of what. Okay, I get it. Well, that's
no, I'm getting everything I can get out of you, Dad, Zach, wherever I can get it from. I'm adding to the table. So we were looking at the life of Peter, and so my thought process is that Peter obviously became a different man once he witnessed the resurrection. Yeah. And so, you know, he became, you know, this guy that would write 1 Peter. And so so I had this idea. We had this thing we call cardboard testimonies that we did years ago when I was at WFR. It wasn't an original idea. We saw it.
Yeah. I think that was done 20 years ago.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And so Mac Owen, who we had on the podcast, Jason, when you were gone, Mac is the one that first found it 20 years ago. He showed it to me on a video some church was doing. I said, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, because you can look at 20 or 30 or 40 kind of short testimonies in one setting. And you kind of see these little life changes. So we did that yesterday. So the idea was we were witnessing the resurrection through the eyes of other people. And so we call them cardboard testimonies. So yesterday we had lunch together, kind of a little family gathering after, you know, we met together at my house.
Oh, it was. And that was fantastic.
Oh, man, it's a good grub. Yeah.
No. Brisket, I don't know, with the bark. I guess Jay smoked that.
Jay smoked it. Yeah.
It looked
24
burnt.
Hours.
It looked burned. So I thought,
Worried about it.
I was worried.
I know.
But and we were trying to find the grain of the meat because you always want a just helpful tip for gatherings. You want to cut across the grain.
Correct.
And so we were determining that. Of course, I was just using that for an excuse to be closer to the front of the line because I wanted to try this, you know.
That's the classic move of let me help you find that grain. So the closing prayer, yeah. You have not only found the grain, but you found your way right there close to the front.
Well, I did get nominated for the prayer, so then it justified me being up there.
You did. You worked for it. You did.
I was like, Jay, go ahead, you know, bless this food because there was a long delay. I think you were guilty of causing the delay.
I was because typical, that we had a lot of visitors. And I preached yesterday, so I was working the line, and I was like,
"Well, and y'all were cooking macaroni and cheese, and I'm not going to say who, but somebody said while the wait went on, I don't like waiting on macaroni and cheese. I just thought I'd say that.
Unless you ate it, then it was worth the wait. This ain't no box mac and cheese, Jace. This is the homemade.
No, it was homemade, but the bark was not. It was not burned. It was.
Oh man.
Perfection.
Full of flavor.
It was one of the greatest things I've eaten. It was the best brisket I've ever eaten.
Yeah, pretty good.
Fantastic.
It was delicious. So Dad comes up to Jace and he says, Jace, this poster board gig, that was.
No, he just, you know, Phil has a habit. This is a little weird since he's sitting catty corner from me, but Phil has a habit for coming up and starting in seemingly the middle of a conversation. So he walked up to me and he said, this poster gig, you know, the poster gig. And I said, poster gig. I was looking around on the walls at Jay's house because I was like, I don't see any posters. And I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Then I was thinking, maybe he means then the video days when we used to have the posters to go with the video. That's literally what I was thinking. And he kept saying the you know, they get up there and they say, what'd he say?
He says, it's all gloom and doom on one side.
Yeah, he said, it's gloom and doom. No, I'm angry and fearful and my tank's out of gas. And he said, then they turn it around and I'm happy. And then it hit me that he was talking about the cardboard testimonies.
So if you're wondering where we get our term cold open from, it came from Phil. You come into Unashamed Podcast and you're right in the middle of a conversation that's already been happening.
It was hilarious. Then I realized, because Phil said, never seen that one before. And I thought, well, Phil, they've been doing that around there for 15, 20 years. Not a lot, but...
But it's probably been 20 years since we did it, and that's why Dad had.
Phil's been over. He's been over at university for a while. So that's right.
I actually did that one time. My wife and I, we wrote out the cardboard and then got up.
Last time I did it, when we were there. But it was really interesting. This time was unique, and you don't know who's going to do it. And since I didn't work there this time, since you know I was gone, I just came in and preached. So someone else was gathering these people together. But it was really interesting because this time was unique from times we've done in the past. There were a lot of couples that had come to Christ together. So they had so on one side they would talk about, you know, different things that had happened, obviously, in their life that had they were not Christians or, some, you know, like you said, Dad, bad things. And then when they flipped their cardboards over, they would put them together. Sort of have the message of redemption together. Yep. And I just thought that was really unique and interesting, the idea that a lot of times families are saved, you know, obviously through, you know, a redemptive act of coming to Christ. And so, and I don't know, that spoke to me uniquely yesterday, I thought, just from watching it. It was really interesting.
I never had seen it before.
It was really powerful. And everybody clapped and cheered, you know, with everybody's kind of mini. So nobody said a word. You're just listening to music. You know, watching the words, and it's just an interesting.
Well, it's because, you know, growth in any capacity, you really can't see it. I mean, we measure it, you know, we test it, but you think about it. I mean, there's a reason why when you're little kids, you're putting the pencil over his head and writing on the door frame, and because you don't feel like you're growing. And if you stare at somebody, you know, in a physical way, or plants, or Well, it's same thing, you know, when you go to spiritual, these people are giving you a capsule of what's happened in their life. Because they might have been there for years, and then you're like, oh, wow. Because one side, like you said, Phil, is like, oh, and they turn it around. So they're showing the evidence of growth, transformation and growth spiritually.
Yeah, which was powerful. It was. Yeah. So it made a nice Easter message for us. So you were telling me you saw something yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a tradition like no other.
Like no other.
I always watch the Masters, and it kind of, and in this case, I was watching it for a couple of reasons. One, I have not touched a golf club in probably 6 months.
Yeah, me neither.
There's been no time. However, it provides some inspiration because it is a tradition that I like. I've been there. I think you've been there.
Also. I've been there 3 times. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I watched it, and it was kind of ho-hum. I mean.
It wasn't like close or anything. But
no, John Rahm, congratulations. But here's the reason I'm bringing this up, is after it's over, 60 Minutes was on, which I didn't even know was still on. I remember when I was
going to say, the only way you would ever watch 60 Minutes is if you happened into it after the Masters.
That's the only way.
I got distracted at the end because I like watching the whole, you know, I didn't realize he had a family and $2. And
yeah,
then
I'm
a big,
too.
You know, Scottie Scheffler fan because his caddy, Ted Scott, who loves the Lord,
he's
and
friend
he's a
ours.
Friend of ours. Yep. And so he was given the green jacket, you know, and I just like watching all of it. So I was, when they tick, 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 the clock came on. You know, this is 60 minutes.
I can't believe you didn't change the channel. You must not have had your hand on the remote.
Wait for it, Al. I couldn't find the remote.
There you go. I knew.
So as I'm looking,
I know you so well.
Because I've been watching the Masters a couple of days because I was on a long journey in the last couple of weeks. So I was just resting up. Well, all of a sudden they said, we have discovered new clues and secrets to the origin of the universe.
Uh-oh.
Next up, I'm like, well, forget the remote. They've discovered the origin of the universe. I got to watch this. So I watched the 7-minute segment on what the somebody's name, but it's Webb's, his last name's Webb. What they launched a
James Webb telescope.
James Webb, they launched it. And now they have this, it's a pretty fascinating piece of work.
Oh, it's incredible.
And it takes pictures infrared. So it's basically uncovering what we can't see. It takes pictures. And so these pictures, now look, some of the pictures they say after the artistic impression of what this implies. You know, so I thought, oh, wait a minute now. I thought this was the picture. Well, they have the pictures, and then, you know, they have artists who then tells you what it really should look like. So all of a sudden, I was seeing it was starting to leak oil. So, man, I spent 7 minutes because I thought it was going to, I mean, you know what the phrase I kept thinking of? Because immediately they got into the Big Bang, and the guy who produced it actually said, in a joking way, we're fixing to reveal a new definition in the phrase, let there be light. I was like, okay, this are we actually gonna, we're going down that road? But then he grinned like that was a joke. So yes, he was kidding. So then they started revealing this, and I spent 7 minutes of my life, which I'll never get back. And all I heard was maybe, possibly, we were wrong. Now this changes everything. But it really, the clues and the secrets never came forth. It just revealed that it was way bigger than they thought, and that there's no such thing as really what we call space, because it's way more crowded than they thought. And so the phrase I kept thinking of is, they're going to have a smoking gun to the Big Bang. Get it? There was no smoking gun. I am looking for the person who pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Instead, it was just the thing that sticks out of the end that says Big Bang.
It was just impressive, and it made me validate my faith that there is a designer to the design.
Well, Jace, you're in luck as well as our audience, because we have a guest today. Little did we know that you would lead us right to the promised land.
You think that we would be coordinated on that, but it was sheer random from my
like everything else on this podcast. It was just where God leads us. So Zach, we're gonna take a break, but tell us when we come back who's gonna be our guest on Unashamed.
A good friend of mine, a guy named Frank Turek, who is one of the greatest Christian apologists out there. He wrote one of my favorite books that was very transformational, and when I went through a season of doubt. The title of the book is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And Frank's in town touring a bunch of college campuses. And so, yeah, we'll get him on this conversation, Jace. He's one of the best out there. So awesome. Stay tuned. Come back over on the other side of the break for Frank.
So a lot of Americans have had it with supporting companies that are raking in billions of dollars by seemingly trashing the same country that has made them successful. I mean, you get that a lot out of the corporations, unfortunately. This woke stuff, man, it's everywhere. And so until companies like Patriot Mobile, who's been one of our sponsors for a very long time, has come along to change the game. They embrace the values that we embrace and have made America great, and we can help support these guys. They're the only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you can get the best possible service in your area. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. So they offer a great deal. Go with these guys. They support what we support. Free speech, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military and first responders. They also offer special deals for those guys, which we love. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes switching very easy. If you go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. You get free activation today with the offer code Phil. So let's stand together, support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 878-PATRIOT. All right, welcome back. Frank, welcome to Unashamed.
Great being with you guys.
All right, so Frank, I always like to ask people when they come into the Unashamed lair, and you travel all around the country, mm-hmm. a lot of college campuses. So what was your thought as you came into our lair, as you traversed into our outer lair to get to the inner lair? Have you ever been, you do a lot of podcasts.
Success
right?
has not ruined you guys. I can tell you that, man. It has not. We are in the lair, and nobody's finding this place.
Nobody, right?
Nobody.
They're never going to figure this
out. I was asking Phil before the... Phil, can you tell the story of how you found this place? Because it's... Yeah. Like, you grew up more than 2 hours from here.
I told Ms. Kay to find me a place where we're right down on the river bank. I said, in the woods, dirt road. And I said, I'll fish for a living. And then I'll build these duck calls right here. And that long green will be in your pocket. That's the way it works.
And here we are.
She was looking at me. She said, let's do it.
Now, it was funny when y'all were talking before, though, because you're speaking at Louisiana Tech.
That's right.
And Phil, you infamously went there and was a quarterback. But you were telling a story about how it relates to how you got down here. I think that was pretty funny. What did they tell you? They called you in to the, what was the name of the guy?
The dean of...
He said, what street do you live on?
And he was the what? The dean of what?
Dean of men.
Dean of men.
The dean
if
of
you
men.
Get in trouble as a male in Louisiana Tech at that point, You had a meeting with the dean of men, and he lined you out, straightened you out, or ran you off, one or the other.
So you went in there, and what did he say
to you? I went in there, you know, and he went to bad-mouthing all my where I put my boats and hook nets and decoys and I mean, in my yard. And he said, where you live, that road is called Scholar Drive. And Mr. Robinson, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not very scholarly. He said, and the president of the this university has ordered me to tell you, clean the yard up. Get all that. He said, get all that junk out. I said, junk? That ain't junk. I said, that's some good stuff. I had decoys.
So that answers the question why he moved out here.
He just moved it all here. It's right here.
Yeah. There's no dean of the neighborhood.
Well, somebody told me, I don't know whether they do or not, but after all the smoke cleared, I don't know what they were trying to get in my little head, you know, but I never heard anybody mention God or Jesus, not once in all the classes. And they were bad-mouthing me to having a dirty yard. But as it ended up, somebody said, I have a plaque that's positive on the wall over somewhere.
You do. You are in the Hall of Fame of Tech alumni. You were put in there in 2014.
The dean of men tried to thwart that.
Well, he's probably the dean of men is taking credit for your success.
He's probably passed on by now because he was, you know, it's been a while.
But I could hear him saying, "Yeah, I finally got that guy."
So on Dad's plaque, it says "Duck hunting icon, television personality, a servant of Christ."
Oh, it says servant of
servant
Christ.
Servant of Christ.
Well, now suddenly Jesus is okay when they can use you for PR.
That's exactly right.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's it.
So I was trying to help him out, but they just...
He's on the wall. So, Frank, you may not remember this. You may not know this. But when I heard your name, when Zach told you were coming on the podcast, I said, man, I know that name. I mean, outside of me knowing your work, I was like, I know. I thought I'd met you. I was trying to remember what it was. You and I were actually on a movie together.
Which one?
How many movies have you been on, Frank?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes they come to my place and film something.
It was a documentary.
Was it the AFA, American Family Association?
It was not. It was a small documentary.
Which one? What was it?
And I think we both filmed it the same way. We didn't know the people until we did it.
Yeah.
It was called Bible Idiots.
Oh, yeah. Bible Idiots.
Chris Danielson.
We're Bible Idiots.
We're Bible Idiots.
And how did I not get invited to that?
Wow, you should have.
You weren't enough of an idiot back then.
You should have been a headliner, Jason.
That's right.
It should have been about you. You should have been the star. But yeah, I knew I was a Frank Turner. Yeah. We were both, we got interviewed for that movie, and Chris is now, I keep up with Chris. Yeah. He's a friend of mine now. And
he's to look into that.
He's a pastor up in Iowa, and I sent him a text, and I was like, was Frank Turek on the Bible Idiots movie? And he said he wasn't. I knew that's where I knew your name from. So we were both appeared on this movie, and we did an interview for it, which
we're both
really
idiots. We don't even know the movie. I don't know the movie.
Right.
Okay.
That was the idea, is that you can be an idiot, but as long as you trust in the Bible, it elevates you.
Mm-hmm. Kind of I've been saying that my whole life.
Well, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. This is like your life.
Jesus makes you smart.
This is so I want to ask this question because we kind of left it hanging about you were listening before when we did the cold open about Jace's swerving into 60 Minutes, his accidental swerve into 60 Minutes. So,
and here's the weird part of that story. This we did a cliffhanger there. You know the cliffhanger. You know what a cliffhanger is, right? Yeah.
What's that?
That was the cliffhanger.
I got it. Okay. I got it. All right.
You know, cheesy. But
I'm just
funny.
Playing along. Uh-huh.
But
I'm here to make
I've used that actually
I'm here to
twice.
Make this look good.
And Zach, hey. So what happened was this morning I got up like I normally do and said, let's see what we're doing for the podcast this morning. And then I'm like, get out. Now I know why I couldn't find the remote because I saw that you were coming on. And I was like, what are the odds of this? So I was like, I must tell this story because I just seemed a little out of the ordinary. I mean, I'm not claiming a miracle here, but I'm just saying I do know that God is very good at getting people together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are the odds?
So you go to college camps. Tell us a little bit about what you do, your ministry. You have a television show, you have radio, you have podcasts, you're
right,
everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So tell our audience a little bit about
I'm on Bible Idiots too, but I didn't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We do colleges, high schools, churches. We present evidence that Christianity is true from this book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, which I wrote with the Michael Jordan of apologetics at the time, Norman Geisler. When this guy died 4 years ago, They added up the number of books either wrote, co-wrote, or updated. It was 129. The guy's forgotten more than I'll ever know. Anyway, we wrote this book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, in 2004. 2007, created a ministry called crossexamined.org. That's cross-examined with a D on the end of it. And we go to colleges, high schools, churches, present the evidence that Christianity's true. We talk about the Big Bang. If there's a Big Bang, there's got to be a Big Banger. There's got to be a creator. And we'll talk about that at Tech tomorrow night. Going to be at Louisiana Christian tonight talking about these issues. We go to a lot of secular colleges. I was at LSU last year talking about this. Because other than the White House, the most unchristian real estate in America is the college campus.
That is correct. That's correct.
And so that's why we're trying to bring the evidence to the college campus. We're trying to throw a lifeline to Christians. We're trying to put a stone in the shoe of the skeptics. And we open up the Q&A mic for anyone. They can say whatever they want. And so we've got about 1,600 videos on our Cross-Examine YouTube channel. Most of them are Q&As from the college campus.
And so do they generally ask the same questions pretty much?
They ask a lot of the same questions. You probably get 20 of the same questions over and over again. And the questions are usually related around morality.
Really? You
know? Oh, yeah. It's all LGBTQ stuff, or why did God kill the Canaanites, or why is there evil in the world?
Yeah.
Why did God create people he knew would go to hell? These kind of questions you get all the time. And just about every one of those questions assume a moral standard. So I'm always asking him, what's the moral standard? Where are you getting this moral standard? I mean, in your uncancelled book, you talk about that, right? Yeah. Why? You guys, you're saying you're offended. If you're saying you're offended, there's got to be a standard that you say we're violating. What is it? Where are you getting the standard from? If there's no God, there is no standard. It's just
if it
opinion.
All happened randomly by accident, well, why can't we just make up our own rules?
It seemed like it'd
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Right? But well, they're claiming their rules you have to live by.
Well,
see?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And evolution, survival of the fittest wouldn't, you know, it seemed like that wouldn't matter. So our old friend Steve Deese, who is a fellow Blaze host, he has a new movie that's out, and it's called Nefarious, and it's pretty interesting. It's kind of based on the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis's book, and some people have called it Interview with a Demon, Zach.
Yeah, Phil, you saw it, didn't you? Phil, you got to watch it this weekend.
Everyone needs to see it.
What was your thoughts on it, Dad?
There's about 75 verses either dealing with the devil or the demoniac. 75 times that's mentioned. If you think about it, it rose to a head while Jesus was here to show that he had power over them, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But to say there's not a lot written about that particular subject, there's a lot of information about the demoniac, and this guy is one of them.
Yeah, and so the idea of the setup is this psychiatrist is called into prison to interview this guy who has a demon called Nefarious, and so this guy is supposed to try to decide whether he's insane or not. So it kind of, you know, really brings it into a modern vernacular.
Whoever that actor was did a fabulous job.
Really interesting.
In my opinion.
Supernatural, and yet, you know, as you said, that biblical from the idea. So it's called Nefarious, opened on April 14th. Make sure and get your tickets at whoisnefarious.com. So that's whoisnefarious.com. Check it out. Very apropos.
Nefarious is, I mean, the epitome of evil.
There you go.
So did I get it wrong when I watched the images that this Webb telescope is bringing back to us now, that they had all these sayings like it's now uncovering the clues and the secrets to the origin of the universe. But the more I read, because then after I watched this, you know, I started reading because I just want to say, maybe I missed something. No, it was just more unexplainable what we believe. I mean, it was more spectacular. We know what, you know, the things we're seeing, but I just viewed it as more evidence of God. I mean,
of course it is.
I didn't hear these clues reveal secrets, which was kind of very sad.
No,
they pitched that on the show and even in all the articles I read.
What the Webb telescope, space telescope, has confirmed is that the idea that space, matter, and time had a beginning is really true.
Yeah.
Now, if space, matter, and time had a beginning, what could have caused that? Only something that's spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful to create the universe out of nothing, personal in order to choose to create. In other words, whatever the cause was, someone had to make a choice,
yeah.
right? And then obviously the cause would have to have a mind to make a choice. So I always ask people on a college campus, I say, when you think about a spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, intelligent cause, who do you think of? And everyone says, well, it's God. Yeah. Well, but they say, how do you know it's the Christian God? And my answer is, we don't yet. I mean, it could be Allah from this one argument, right?
Right.
But if you look at the evidence for Jesus rising from the dead, then you realize that the same being that walked out of the tomb 1,990 years ago this week is the same being in whose divine nature created the universe out of nothing. So you get those two facts that God exists, he created the universe, and Jesus rose from the dead, Christianity's true, and this book is true.
Mm, yeah.
You can show that the Bible's true just starting with those two facts. And that's what we do in the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
Mm.
Well, that's powerful. I love it.
What would you say to the student that would say, especially like this is Easter weekend we just came out of, and they say, well, because I mean, I think it's at least fair to acknowledge that we put our faith, and I said this at the beginning of my sermon yesterday, you know, I put my faith in a man that I've never physically met that allegedly was killed on a Roman cross, put in a tomb, and 3 days later, his dead body came to life. So how do you approach if somebody says that I don't accept that as a fact? Like what's kind of just your core kind of go to if you're in one of these settings and somebody asks a question like that? How do we know he rose from the dead?
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to say is if God exists, miracles are possible, right? If he exists. Right. And the greatest miracle in the Bible is not the resurrection. The greatest miracle in the Bible is the first verse. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, because if there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, can he raise Jesus from the dead? Can he walk on water? Can he part the Red Sea? Yeah. Of course he can. Yeah. The interesting thing is atheists are admitting the evidence for the first verse. I mean, they don't think it's God, but you watch 60 Minutes and they talk about there's a beginning. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Hawking.
There was no doubt there was a beginning based I watched it.
Yeah.
They're acknowledging. Yeah. That's why he said that let there be light, because there was a start.
That's Jesus. Right. And if there's... If Genesis 1:1 is true, resurrections are possible. Then I point out that all the writers of the New Testament, with the exception of Luke, they're all Jews, right? They all think they're God's chosen people. Why are they inventing a resurrected Jesus? Because by saying that, they got beaten, tortured, and killed, right? So last time I checked, being beaten, tortured, and killed is not a list of perks, right? We're not going to make that up, right? So... And I know this is going to sound weird for all of us out here in the unashamed podcast land that we, and Zach, you preach on this too, that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. What I'm going to say now is going to sound like I don't believe that, but it's true. And that is, Christianity is not true because a series of documents we put under one binding we call the Bible says it's true. In fact, Christianity would be true if the Bible never existed. And people go, why? What do you mean? Because I always ask them, do you realize there were thousands of Christians before a line of the New Testament was ever written? Why? Because they witnessed the resurrected Jesus. They didn't read about it in a book.
Right.
They saw him.
Yeah, look wasn't there.
And then they wrote it down.
Great point.
Then they wrote it down. So I always say that the New Testament writers did not create the resurrection. The resurrection created the New Testament writers, right? Mm. We wouldn't have these New Testament documents, Zach, written in the first century by people who claimed to be Jews and didn't think a man could claim to be God or rise from the dead. They thought that was blasphemy, that a man would claim to be God. I mean, the last people in the world are going to say a man is God are the Jews, right?
Yeah.
And yet here they say a man claimed to be God and rose from the dead. That must have really happened. If it didn't happen, they never would have went to their deaths writing this stuff down.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like 2 Thessalonians. Yesterday I gave a lesson on Jesus, him crucified and raised from the dead Easter Sunday. But I started with this. Among God's churches, we boast, this is written 2,000 years ago, thereabouts. The churches we boast about, your perseverance, your faith, and all the persecutions and trials you're enduring, they were really catching a lot of trouble, way more than we are now. But it was the same group. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. You say, suffering is a good thing, very good thing. God is just. He'll pay back trouble to those who trouble you. That's coming. And give relief to you who are troubled. That's coming. And to us as well. It's coming. The Apostle Paul wrote this. This will happen somewhere in the future when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. If you ever argued he's not there, there is no God, this says you're going to look up one day and there's going to be an end to it. He will punish those who do not know God. Pretty good group. Then and now. He will punish those who do not know God. Lots of them are there. They might try to find him. That's what we're here for. And the ones who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified. We are, as Christians, are looking forward to that in his holy people. And to be marveled at when all this ends, marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, these Thessalonians, because you obeyed, believed our testimony to you. So with us, we're saying, who has the best story? These are us. Mm-hmm. We live, they don't. Mm-hmm. There's a price to be paid when you say there is no God.
Oh, yeah.
Life and immortality is riding on this, and you're not going to take a look and do a little investigating. Mm-hmm. You count time by him. You say, what are you doing? It took me a while to find it, but I'm glad I did.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I think the first miracle also was, you know, you were talking about the first miracle.
The greatest miracle in the Bible, yeah.
Yeah.
Genesis 1.
The first miracle from non-believer perspective would have to be, because I've spent a lot of my life blowing things up. It's just what we do down here. And, you know, when you think about the big bank, somebody naming the big bank, it started off, even if you didn't, if you're saying there's no God, well, but you're acknowledging a miracle, because the first time in the history of explosions, this one happened and you had beauty, symmetry, order.
That's the design argument, Jace. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It wasn't a random big bang.
Yeah, when I look at these things that blow up, I'm like, okay, so it just doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. And that's why I told you before we started, I was like, when I was watching this, because when I was early in my faith, I remember thinking, oh, I wonder if they send these telescopes out there, if they're going to find something that all of a sudden just nullifies God, you know. And I was scared because I was immature in my faith. But now, even when I watched that last, when I was watching this imagery of the telescope, I was 100% confident. I knew what they were going to say. I knew there was going to be nothing to this. Oh, we found the secrets. We're fixing to reveal the clues of the origin of the universe. And then it was never revealed, because I just thought they wanted your attention. But it was like a lot of other, you know, philosophies out there. It was hollow and empty. And so,
It was kind of disappointing.
Well, it seems to be, I was expecting whether more. We're looking inward, whether it's archaeology, those type things, or we're looking out,
yep,
astrology, whatever, everything has continued to give us more evidence.
That's right.
Of Creator, more evidence of the Bible, more evidence of those things,
right,
not less. I mean, it continues to be proven to what we've always believed, not the other way around.
I was wanting to know your thoughts. I would think you get a question from the audience. Well, how come that science and archaeology says the universe is, like, what do they say now, 14 billion, 14 billion years old, and the Bible seems to only be, what, 6,000 to 7,000?
Depends on how you interpret
it. So do you get that question
all the time?
Yeah.
And I always say I'm absolutely convinced the universe is at least 61 years old.
That's how long you've been
here.
Let's
throw my mom in there. She's 85. All right.
That's a great line.
We talk about it. It's on our YouTube channel. The short answer is this. I think the Bible leaves the age of the earth indeterminate. Here's why. What's the first verse of the Bible say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. When did God create the heavens and the earth? It says in the beginning. You say, what about the days? The days don't begin till verse 3. In fact, the first verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was no word in Hebrew for universe. So heavens and earth is the universe.
Yeah.
And then the next verse says, and the earth was formless and void. Wait a minute. Time out. You went from the whole universe to now the earth. What happened in between? Doesn't say.
Doesn't say.
Right? It could be thousands, according to the Bible, but it could also be a lot longer. Right. And I think the best evidence is it is older, but I don't care how old it is. I don't care if it's old or young, because you still need a cause, no matter how far back you go.
And Frank, to that point, so you're sitting at a table where you've got an old earth guy, a young earth guy, and a guy in the middle.
Yeah.
That thinks
I was kind of with Frank. I agree with everything he said. Right.
So what I'm saying is you're sitting at a table with guys that have three different views of that exact thing.
Right.
And yet we're all in unity that God did it. So,
but here's why it doesn't bother me. Like last night when they said the earth is 14 billion. I mean, the universe 14 billion years old. Well, a thought hit me in that moment. I thought, well, I know that this creation reveals a creator. Well, how old is God?
Think about this, though.
He's eternal, right?
Yes, he's eternal.
So why would it bother me if you even claim that you could prove that it was 14 billion years old?
Yeah.
Well, that's nothing.
It's
compared
nothing to, but,
to who started it.
Well, he's outside of time. If time was created, whatever created time is timeless. And if you're timeless, do you have a beginning? Do you have a cause? No, he's outside of time.
That's what I'm saying. So it wouldn't bother. That's my point. We're trying to interpret the times, and we're missing the one who's the father of time. That's invented time.
I'm a little bit stretched out when some guy says, I said, now how old is the earth? They said 14.5 billion years. I'm like, look, when you see a human being,
the universe was,
when you see a human being who tells you he knows when the beginning was, which was 14.5 billion years ago, don't listen to him. He doesn't.
It's a good point.
That's a long time ago.
That's right. That's right. He wasn't there. But
no, he was.
We keep talking about science says this, science says that. In reality, in fact, we cover it in this book, Hollywood Heroes. How your favorite movies reveal God. That science.
Well, you're in Jace as well.
I didn't know you wrote this book.
Yeah, with
and
my
I
son.
Felt this immediate. I thought I was the only person revealing that, and now I was late to.
It's in this book. It's in the. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Here's the interesting thing. Science doesn't say anything. Scientists do.
That is exactly. Correct.
Science doesn't say a word. Why? Because all data needs to be gathered, and all data needs to be interpreted. Thank you, Vanna. All data needs to be gathered. All data needs to be interpreted. And who does that? Scientists do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes their philosophy, Phil, as you know, will cause them to interpret the data differently. In fact, you ever wonder why we got such conflicting advice on COVID?
Man.
Why? Because science doesn't say a word. It's scientists saying things. And some scientists are saying, we're right. And we're going to shut you up because we think.
Wait a minute, Frank. Are you telling me that Tony Fauci is not science itself?
He's not science.
I thought he himself, physically in his body, was science.
I had a booster.
I had 5 boosters. I had 5 boosters. I still got COVID.
Yeah. You know, but well, I think we gotta. I think that you do have to not, as a Christian though, we don't have to fear scientific discovery, because for years I grew up, if I heard the word Big Bang, I automatically thought that's the opposite of Christianity. But when I read, I think you were about to reference this earlier, Frank, Stephen Hawking, who was not a believer, but when he wrote his book, Brief History of Time, I mean, he makes the point in that book that if the Big Bang is true, which he calls the standard model of physics, he says if it's true, he says then it's unavoidable that God exists. It smacks of divine intervention, I think was his exact phrase. And so when I started reading your work and Dr. William Lane Craig and some Norm Geisler years ago, like, to me, that was liberating, that the truth of God's existence is so necessary that our scientific discovery, it actually proves his existence. So the thing we were fighting over and saying, well, this is a model that came out of the atheistic world, it came from science and all that, in the end, it actually proves God's existence, because if there's a beginning, the Big Bang Theory essentially says that there's the beginning of the universe.
That's right.
And the one thing that science does pretty much universally agree on, the scientists at least, is that if the universe has a beginning, well, they don't agree on this part. They agree it has a beginning, but if it has a beginning philosophically and logically, it has to have a cause, going back to that argument you mentioned earlier. So I don't think we have to fear anything when someone says the universe is 14.5 billion years old and the Earth is 4 billion or whatever it is. I mean, that doesn't scare me, primarily because of when I read their own work, they're like, yeah, and if it has a beginning, we got issues, because, you know, that kind of means God exists. And Hawking said, therefore, the goal of modern physics is to disprove this standard model of physics, because we know God doesn't exist.
They can't disprove it, Zach. They've been trying. They can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, they
can't get around it.
No, the last 50 years has been one failed attempt after another to get rid of the Big Bang cosmology and replace it with a new theory. They can't do it because the evidence. And by the way, you don't even need science to know this. How could today have gotten here if there were an infinite number of days before today? Couldn't, right? You'd always have to live another day if there was an infinite number of days before today, before you got to today. But since today's here, there can only be a limited number of days before today, which means whatever created time has to be timeless. And if you're timeless, do you have a cause? No, you're the uncaused first cause. So when people say, who made God? You go, nobody. It's like asking a bachelor, what's your wife's name? He doesn't have a wife, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So God is unmade. You don't ask who created the uncreated creator. He is the first cause.
Yeah. It's unavoidable too. I mean, it's completely, you cannot avoid this conclusion. I mean, I sat on a plane recently with a theoretical, she had a PhD from Princeton in some kind of engineering, and her husband was a professor at an Ivy League school who had a PhD in theoretical physics, which I'm not even close to that level of intelligence. But I started to throw some of this at her because she wasn't a believer. And I was doing it very kind, but I was just throwing these concepts out there of an infinite past and how that would be impossible, and an infinite regress. And I mean, it was like she'd never heard it, but she didn't have an answer for it, because this is mathematics. I mean, this is logically coherent. You can't avoid, number one, the fact that the universe has a beginning. And number two, you can't avoid the fact that if it does, then there has to be a cause to that. And to me, that strengthened my faith so much in the early days of my walk with Jesus.
And if you're going to say no to that it doesn't need a cause, you've just given up on all science, because science is built on cause and effect. That's what you're trying to discover, right? Scientists are looking for causes of effects. In fact, that's when people say, how do I know God exists? I always say, well, one way I know is by his effects. Right? I'm reasoning from effect to cause. So if there's a creation, that's the effect. I'm reasoning back to a cause of creator. If there's design, that's the effect. I'm reasoning back to a cause of designer. If there's a moral law written on the heart, that's the effect. I'm reasoning back to a moral law giver. If there's evidence a man claimed to be God and rose from the dead, that's the effect. What could have caused that?
Exactly.
Only a being like God.
Yeah. I say the same thing about DNA. If there's a sophisticated code in your body,
yep.
Who wrote it?
It's a coder.
Yeah,
it's a program. It's got to be a programmer, right?
I've always thought of the idea of the three in one, you know, let us make man in our image. Mm-hmm. and how when you look at humans, how we have this sort of three-part makeup of who we are,
mm-hmm.
and how that smacks of what we see in God from mm-hmm. what we study in Scripture. It's always been that marker to me that it just makes perfect sense that, you know, when you see a human being, you see a person made up of this, of our animation, you know, our spirit and our physical body. And yet that thing that draws us to the spiritual, where does that come from? Mm. I mean, how does that just come out of thin air, mm-hmm. out of, you know, that crawled out of the primordial soup, you know?
Where did the primordial soup come from?
Exactly.
If that's how, and we didn't get here that way.
Right.
The evidence shows it's not the case. There's a designer.
Not to mention all the artistic side of things as well, right?
But I will say this, Zach, when you said you were sitting beside the real smart professor from wherever, it's not what you know that makes you smart, which we were joking about this earlier, but it is who you know and who you're known by. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not impressed if someone can retain a bunch of meaningless knowledge or has an extensive vocabulary, as I've proven. Because really, when you talk about, you know, Jesus, I mean, I think it's funny that Jesus said, you know, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about that on another podcast. Yeah. But the first letter of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet, and the last, it's more who you're putting your faith and trust in. And mm-hmm. that's what's the interesting thing. I loved your point about the Bible, whether it being true, whether you're actually reading it or not, it points to a person.
Mm-hmm.
A being
mm-hmm.
that's more sophisticated than us, obviously. But if you're in a right relationship with the author of this Bible, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many verses you actually are able to memorize and say, that it becomes a smaller point than when you're having a friendship and a vibrant relationship with the creator of the universe.
Yeah, death is philosophy's only problem, right? We all die, right? Yeah,
exactly.
If we live forever without God, okay, what would we even consider a cause? But we don't. And that's why, I mean, look at this Bible, man. This guy has got this thing torn up, man, because he knows.
All I do when I meet individuals is point them to their problems.
That's right.
Sin. I said, just think of a place where you could be with all your sins removed in the past. Yeah. None in the future counted against you. He's there to mediate for you. And you're going to be raised from the dead. I said, I'm telling you, it's that rarest of commodities. It gives one peace of mind.
Which I think is the greatest apologetic is what you just said. You mentioned 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, which is funny, Phil, because I preached out of that. I used that same text yesterday in my sermon. And the point that I made was that there's another level like beneath us, because we're not just purely cognitive thinking beings that are looking for rational answers, although we are. That's part of what we are. But then there's this whole other side of me that's longing for beauty in the world. It's longing for, man, I want to be connected. I want intimacy. I want my life to matter. There's this other thing that I can't really even put to words, you know. And I use this verse to prove that. When it says that God's going to pay them a penalty of eternal destruction, which he describes as away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So hell is to be away from God's glory and his wonder when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. And I thought, man, how interesting is it that he describes hell as not being able to marvel at God. And I think that in the core of our being, we were created to worship and to marvel at the beauty and the majesty and the wonder of God. And so it's interesting to me that even in these intellectual pursuits that I've had discussions, Frank, I know you have too, with people, it's like, it's almost like they separate the intellectual from like their real life. And even if they may work it out over here intellectually, man, they still have this inner thing that's like, man, but I'm longing for something. Like, I want something beautiful and something transcendent, but at the same time, something imminent that's right here with me. You know, it's just crazy. And I think all of this is realized in the person of Jesus.
I think we should continue the in the overtime.
Right.
And,
so that's
and
the
we
beauty,
have discovered
the beauty of the kingdom of God. You see all kinds here.
I got a killer question for the overtime.
All right,
killer question.
And I'm going to say this.
You can use with your non-Christian friends. So watch the overtime.
Oh, I like that. And
the other teasers, I think we just discovered the origin of the Marvel movies. They were...
What was it?
Well, we just read it.
Hollywood heroes.
They're going to be marveled.
Oh, there you go.
At the resurrection.
All right.
Marvel,
so
get it.
So if you want to follow us over, blazetv.com/unashamed is where we do our overtimes. Frank, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Coming
gentlemen.
On Unashamed. What a quick time for our podcast. Follow us over for the overtime. We're going to hear a little more. And I want to hear about how you came to Christ, because I have a feeling that may be what fueled you to what you're doing today. So check us out, overtime, blazetv.com/unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.